All right, let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We just thank you, Lord, for all just this night, Lord. And this is just such an awesome group. And Generations Collide, it's such a strong thing on your heart too. So I pray, Father, I know there's every single one of us have needs today. And you love to satisfy the souls of those who are hungry. You love to bring healing. You love to bring hope. And I pray, Father, that each person would have the heart to receive, that the word would go forth. Your word does not return void. So we thank you, Father, that it will accomplish all that it was set out to do. I pray that each one of us would have more of your heart tonight at the end of this time. I pray that we'd give you more glory and more honor than we did even right now, and more than just in a worship song, but in our lives. Moment by moment, day by day. In Jesus' name, thank you for speaking through me. Amen. 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 Have you ever prayed a prayer? And then, like, you're at the end, you pray like a, you kind of realize it's kind of long, and then you're like, oh yeah, I didn't even ask for what I didn't bless the food or anything like that. You know, that's kind of what the end. I was like, I need help to speak tonight, and I better ask for that. You guys ready to do the Bible confession? Come on, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. Amen. Joel was messing with me once because, like, I need the screen to do the Bible confession, unlike a lot of people around here. And one of the reasons is because I've been through, like, different forms of it. Have you seen it change a little bit, like with John Osteen and Joel Osteen and stuff? Anyway, not saying ours is awesome, but, and also when you're looking at, guys, understand the Bible confession, it's something that, it's powerful to declare. The words out of our mouth are powerful. And that's actually a precursor to what I want to share tonight. So I like to look at it and be like, and just kind of connect, make sure my heart's connected to it. Because especially when, I mean, it's good to be in church Sunday and Wednesday, amen? But we also have to guard against it becoming a formality. We have to keep our heart in it, like that song, with everything, all of our heart. So I just kind of want to share a little bit tonight on something that's really super close to my heart, and I know it's close to your heart. And it's along the lines of sharing our faith. Being a light. Be a light and invite. And know what we have inside of us. And evangelism. And there's all kinds of different terms I could use. And I know some of them are scary to many of us at different scenarios, different times. But I just want to, I feel like the Lord has given a little bit some insight on a certain direction, a certain different angle. But you guys understand, it's what we're called to do. We're called to know God and obey, which is obeying Him, and to love Him and to make Him known and to invite people into an encounter with God. And that's, am I right? Is that right? I mean, one of the last things Jesus said, didn't He say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? And then He talked about these signs will follow them who believe. So, but you know, a lot of people will say, well, Pastor Drew preaches the gospel, and he does. Pastor Tamara, you know, she just adds that awesome insight at the end of the messages. And very prophetic, guys. Don't tune out. That's very, you want to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. I mean, He's spoken to me. Sometimes He's spoken to me more in those few minutes. Pastor Drew, sorry, brother. It's not you. That was probably me, you know, than maybe the whole sermon. Not because I didn't hear a lot and get a lot from the sermon, but because there was such, you know, something, it's like she's like one of those, you know, like crock pots that's just sitting, simmering during the whole sermon. Then she just, boom, it's mealtime. And I want to talk about making an impact in the world around us. And there's a lot of different, so my point is this, they preach the gospel. Me, Joel, Pastor Vegas, you know, the characters, we preach the gospel in the kids' room. And there's so many other, I'm just sharing a few. Nursery, you know, we make disciples. I pretty much preach the same sermons up here that I do with the kids, and that I used to do with the when I teach the Sozo. Obviously we tailor it some, but it's kind of fitting that Sozo and the adults are here tonight. The word is the word; it's the same power. The gospel is the power of God. Everyone say the gospel is the power of God. So Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation," or unto wholeness, or unto soteria, which is where we get the word sozo from. In Greek, it's a Greek word. And it means just the whole covenant that God wants to bless us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. And man, we get it from believing. And we believe because we heard and we accepted it as truth. And we heard it because someone shared it. Romans 10, right? Someone shared it. So we're backing up to that tonight. And we're saying that someone can be us. And it needs to be us. And it's not like I'm not beating you over, you know, over the shoulder, you know, with this and saying, you know, we're a bad Christian if you don't, you know, talk to seven people about Jesus in one day. That's not the point. Really, one of my main things is it happens in our daily lives all the time. Opportunities. We have something inside of us. The first thing I want you to realize, and I said that I don't even know if I'm going to go off my points, so if I happen to say one of my points, just please put it up there. Praise God. But it is inside of each one of us to walk in the power of the gospel, and inside of us, in our walk, it's powerful when we're one with God. Like, you could see him just operating in his calling, operating in his gift. And I don't want you to think that what I'm trying to say is it's not just, oh, he's gifted in that way and I'm not. Well, that might be true in the worship service, you know, in singing, but it's not true in the sense that each one of us, let me say it this way. I can't say it better than the Bible. The Bible says that we are living epistles of God read by all men. An epistle is a letter. Those are the letters that Paul wrote and Peter wrote and James wrote. We are, everyone say, I am. A living letter, written by God, read by all men. And see, that's powerful. When you realize, wait a minute, it's God doing it in me. And people see what God's doing. You know, like I had somebody, you know, say they have this on their signature line of their email once, you know, and it was quoting a famous theologian in the past. It says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, right? And it's good. It's a good statement. And I like to say, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words, and use words. And use words too. That's the only thing I'm like, because faith comes by hearing. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Did you guys know that? The world is hearing all kinds of things about God. You know, I had this teacher. I was out of Bible college. I was back in California in summer. I was taking some classes. I was about to go back to Oral Roberts University and finish my degree. So I was taking a bunch of junior college classes because junior college is awesome and it's cheaper and it's the same edumacation. Hallelujah. There's my little, and then I could transfer it over for like 1/1,000,000,000 of the price. And so I'm in this English class and this, or a sociology class or something, and this lady is so out there. She's just like, oh, the universe is my God, and I am the universe's God. And I mean, she's just all out there with her stuff. And she's very bold. Faith comes by hearing. But guess what? I was me. And I cared about her. I respected her as a teacher, but I spoke up, you know. And I was just a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. And I just got out of Bible college. And there was a lot of forums for talking. Anyway, she came up to me at the end of the class. You could see the horror on her face sometimes when I'd walk through the door. Like, oh, dude, that guy's here again, and he's not going to just let me just say what I want to my class, and they're going to go hook, line, and sinker. Come with me. But it's the thing. In a loving way, Ephesians 5:15 says, speak the truth in love. Don't just love and not speak the truth, and don't speak the truth without love. It's both. And we can walk in the truth in love, right? And we can walk in, anyway, you get it. They're combined. She came up to me at the end of this semester, and to God be the glory, she said, if I knew you were going to be in this class, I would have taught things so differently. I wouldn't have said a lot of things. And she says, she looked at me and she said, I've never met a Christian like you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I don't know if it was right then or at another time. He spoke to me and he said, one good witness from me can undo the work of many bad witnesses. And that's good. That's good hope for our families, right? But maybe there's people that have done, we have a lot of family members and friends and things that have been hurt. And they've been hurt in the name of church people, Jesus people, whatever. Jesus, you know, that church over there, whatever. And I'm not, you know, trashing people, but this is the thing. We can let God undo all that. So we have the gifting. We have the ability to naturally spread the gospel, naturally be a light. When I say naturally, that's our lifestyle, but also use words. And I want to combine this. This is what the Holy Spirit was showing me in worship. Can you put up Haggai? Haggai, yes. I didn't think I was going to Haggai. 2:7. And I will shake all nations. This is the prophetic word about how God's going to fill the earth with his glory. Fill his temple, and we're his temples. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Everyone say, Jesus is the desire of all nations. So what I want you to understand and be armed with this belief that every single person you come in contact with every single day has a desire for truth, has a God-given, God-shaped desire for the desire. He's the desire. He is their desire. But remember what I said, faith comes by hearing. So there's a lot of blah, 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 God's bad, this is good, this, you know, live for now, you know, eat, be merry, and whatever. And all these things happen, and they come into their minds. But inside of each one of us, inside of each person, is a desire for him. That is something we need to be armed with because, you know, sometimes people, their faces, you know, can look at us and we're like, I don't want to share. Well, that's why God told Joshua that no man will be able to stand before you. In Joshua 1, read Joshua 1. He talks about bold and courageous, great, bold and greatly courageous, at least four times, I think. And it talks about James and Joshua 1:5, it says, Can you guys pull that up? Thanks, brother. You guys are awesome back there. Let's give the soundboard a round of applause. Amen, amen. There it is. Look at that. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. They won't be able to stand before us. Do you remember when the children of Israel? So slightly off topic, but not really. The children of Israel, not the 10 spies, they said that they were grasshoppers in their sight. And that they presented a reality that they're ready to take us down and we're going to be food for them to eat. But fast forward when they were going to Jericho and Rahab, who hid the spies, she said that people's hearts melted in fear when they heard about you and your people. My people melt with fear when they hear about the people of Jehovah. What's my point? It's not what we think it is. necessarily. We need to know that, especially going into this season. There are hurting people out there. We're hurting. He's the answer. He's the hope of the nations. Amen? And I know we need to hear that, but we need to be empowered to help other people connect with him. And so let's look at a real quick, just a couple minutes of a story in John 4, just a couple points. John 4. And I want you guys to see yourself in this. Right? And everyone say, I'm going to see myself in this story. So let's go to John 4. Verse 3. He left Judea and he departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So look at that. He's just going through his day. He's going through his life. He's not necessarily hearing, you know, the voice of God in it, but he needed to go to the market. You and I need to go to the market. We need to go to work. We need to go home and work with our, you know, kids and family members. You know what I mean? We need to. It's just day-to-day life. It's natural. Everyone say it's natural. Verse 5, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Look at her reaction. Verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. See, she heard a lot of stuff. Faith comes by hearing. She's throwing out her beliefs. You know, and they're widespread. There's a lot of racism and angst between the Jews and the Samaritans in that day. And in verse, you guys don't have to go there, but in verse 27, and at this point his disciples came, and this is after he had a conversation with her, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. They marveled that he talked with a woman. So what I want you to understand is sometimes people probably marveling. I saw a few of the comments on YouTube on that video, that Christian Cuevas song. People were probably marveling. You know, it's kind of sad. A lot of them, they were quote-unquote Christians. Oh, well, they would be like, oh, man, that's not a place for that. And then they go on quoting a bunch of Bible verses. Yeah, at my church. I was thinking, what? Guys, we don't want to have that kind of spirit. That's a Pharisaical spirit. That's the older brother in the prodigal son. God wants to bring prodigals home. That's who he is. He's a father who ran at his prodigal child who was lost, who was lonely, who was confused. He ran at him. He jumped on him. He hugged him. He kissed his neck. He threw the robe on him. He put the ring back on his finger. He killed the fatted calf. That's the God we serve. And if we're going to be close to him, and if we're going to represent him, that's the heart that we need to have. But you know, as soon as they had that fiesta for the prodigal son, you know, the older brother left the house. So let's not be that. That's not my point, but let's not be like that. And so, verse 10. So, first of all, my point on that is we need to do stuff that's not the norm. It's not the norm that he sang that song there. But guess what? I know a lot of people connected with God in that. It blessed me. It blessed a lot of people. Because he did what was in his heart. He didn't do what the social norms told him to do. So for you young people in here, you know, there are people in your school that you're not supposed to talk to. Christian's still dabbing over there. And so I'm telling you what, Christian, dab away, brother, but talk to people. Sometimes preaching the gospel is as simple as stand up, walk across the room, and start a conversation, because destiny needs someone to talk to her. And the enemy, the battle is stay in your seat. Don't get up. She's not like you. She doesn't want to hear from you. That's where the battle is. Stay in your seat. That it's right there. when we're not going to get up and do something. And God's not saying, get up there, float over there in a prophetic dance, and then say, thus saith the Lord. Please don't do that. Please. Don't do that. But I can start a conversation with her that is a normal person conversation, and that can impact her. And it might not happen right then. I know that me just talking to people, giving them the time of the day, talking, and sometimes they didn't expect it, or sometimes they did. But, you know, it may have started a conversation. I was just at Starbucks the other day, and this guy used to hold like a water district board, you know, position, and he walks up to me and says, pray for me. He just walked up and said, pray for me. Amen. I mean, that doesn't happen if you don't know the person usually, and it doesn't happen if you haven't talked to them and been, you know what I mean, like normal, but the normal you, it's inside of us. Can you say amen? It's as simple as starting a conversation. Thank you, brother. It's as simple as that. Now, there's other forms of evangelism, but that's what I'm talking about. That you've got to find that place where you're just, you know, hey, is there something, you know something's going on, and can you pray for that person? You know, I was walking in my parking lot the other day at my work, and I normally don't walk in the parking lot after meetings, but I walked this teacher out towards the high school. I walked back, and I saw one of my fellow staff members bawling. She was on the phone. She was hysterically crying. So I walked over to her, and she's a believer. We've talked because we've started many conversations. You know what I mean? We've talked about stuff. And I started talking to her. I said, what's going on? And she started talking to me about her situation. She was getting a bad report from a doctor. So I prayed with her. I stayed with her and just kind of ministered to her, kind of along the lines of, like, whatever report you do here, first of all, don't, you know, let it blow out of proportion. Blah, blah, blah. I just talked to her, the word of God. Then her mom came, and then I went back into my classroom. And I continued to pray for her. Yesterday, I see her, and she high-fives me, and she says, I got a good report. So I got a good report. I said, praise God. And then, but you know, I'm going to take that. I said, I still want to talk to you though. But I couldn't, because another thing the Christians do is they do their job. Amen. So I can't sit there and preach the gospel. And right at that moment, but I said, I want to talk to you later. And so I haven't got a chance to talk to her. But guess what? Now I have an open door to encourage her. I don't know how consistent she is in her church. I don't know how much she's putting in the word in. I don't know, but I want to encourage her to do that, because that's what we're called to do as believers. I have an open door for that now, because I walked with her for a little couple steps of her life. You know, a couple little mini steps. I did life with her a little bit. And so I want you to see with Jesus, just a couple more minutes, but Jesus, he says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay, so I want you to know, the other thing I was going to say is, he saw her through this whole conversation. He saw her as just a person. And then as he gets to you might know the story. If you don't, go read it tonight. We don't have time to read it all. But he gets through these questions and he says, basically, he turns the conversation, and that's the wisdom of God, and the Holy Spirit will lead us to turn the conversation to not just sports and, you know, secular music or whatever, but to the things of God. He turns it through wisdom, and he says, I have living water, and she says, and she asks us something else, like in the natural, and then she said, how can I have this living water? And he said, go get your husband. And then she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five, and you're living with a man that's not your husband. And see, listen, when we first see that, we think Jerry Springer. Jerry. Now, not that I've ever seen that show, but guys in the dorm, I'd walk around and go, you sinner, turn that show off. We think of, woo, exposure. Oh, he's calling her out. Oh, he's putting her down. No. He's letting her know that I know all your junk. But I still start a conversation with you. I still care about you. I still have living water for you. I still have life to give you. Because How do you know that, Pastor Paul? Because she dropped her water pot and she ran to the town. And here's another cool story about it. She runs to the town and a bunch of guys, a bunch of people followed her. Because she said, come see a man that knows everything I did. What is she implying in there? And he cares about me still. You know what I mean? He sees me as a person. He doesn't see me as a piece of meat. He doesn't see me as trash. He doesn't see my past. And guys, that's the gospel for us. Amen? That's the gospel for us. We need the gospel too. We don't just give it out, because you can't give out what you don't have. So we have that reality. I know God has worked through so much with me and overlooked so much and forgiven me and covered sins. You know, and so that's what I have to give. That's my story. That's another good point. All you have to do is just share something that you're walking in. Share your story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when the man, Jesus just healed him of blindness from his mother's womb. And then they have this big old crazy religious Pharisaical discussion about, oh, well, is this Jesus? This guy Jesus of God or not? And he says, I don't know about all that, but I know this. I was blind and now I see. People can argue with you if you start talking theology, but they cannot argue with you if you share a testimony. See, if your faith and my faith relies on theology in the sense of like an argument, if it relies, it's based on an argument, then it's only as strong as the next person, and this is a big problem, especially in when our kids go off to college and stuff. It's only as strong as somebody else who can talk, you know, this psychobabble and say why your argument is wrong. But as soon as I have an encounter with God, then your argument will never affect me. Because I'm swimming in the pool, doing a backstroke with my little floaties on, and you're telling me there's no water in the pool. Come on, somebody. And it's not going to work, because I already know better. So let's see people the way God sees them. We're not always going to feel that, but you know what? We can stir ourselves up. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you. We can stir it up. We can just be ourselves and invite people, use all the gifts. And let me tell you one other quick thing. One of the things that helps me a lot is sign ministry. I encourage you to come to sign ministry. There's something powerful about standing there. I'm telling you, I just believe that God uses me. I know he uses all of us in sign ministry. That there's something, but he also changes me. When I'm like, maybe I'm feeling grumpy, feeling like I don't want to do it, and then I'm just smiling, hi. I'm not telling him, Jesus is coming soon. I'm just smiling and waving, hi. Just smiling big, and then sometimes people smile big at me like they're making fun of me. That's okay, because it's real. It's natural for me, but not really usually, because that's the thing. It just comes off, I think it comes off natural. But my point is this. Do some practical things that keep that fire burning, because God has a fire burning inside of us to share the gospel with people. There, he's the desire of the nations, and they want us to minister to them. Amen? Yeah. All right. Thank you. I guess I can pray. Should I pray? You're going to pray? Okay. Pastor Drew. He's a praying man.
Amen. Hey, all right. Praise God. How many enjoy the word? Praise God. So Tamara and I went to this funeral this week on Sunday. Somebody in the in North Hollywood. So when we went there, they're like these, you know, famous people, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, wow, trip out, you know, and so it's kind of trippy. But at the end, one of the people that comes to this church, and I love her with all her heart, she just went for it. And see, here's the thing. She just went for it. And I was so proud of her. Because, see, we've got to believe. Hey, how many of you at one time didn't believe that or didn't care about Jesus, didn't know about Jesus? Just raise your hand if that was you. Okay, let me try it again. Everybody should raise their hand. How many know at one time you just didn't even care about God? Raise your hand again. Okay, let me see. See, listen. You care about God now?
Yes.
So she just got up there and she said this. This is all she said, but it was so like, I'm just going to go for it. It was so awesome. She talked about the man that accepted Jesus the last day he lived on the cross. I mean, she just went for it. And I was like there. I looked at Tamara. We were so proud of her. Because you know what? People need the gospel. There's no answer except what you have. You have their answer. And just like somebody else had your answer when you didn't know God. See, you are the vessel that God wants to use. Okay. I'm going to say one more thing. We need... You know the Apostle Paul prayed this. Asked for this. He said, "Pray for me that we might preach the gospel with boldness," yes. Implying that he might not do that. See, we look at the Apostle Paul, we think, "Oh, that guy was just crazy," you know, for Jesus. Well, he was, but he recognized, hey, he could have been timid too. Just like, so here's what I want us to do. And I'm going to pray for something else in a minute. But before we end, I got two endings tonight. So I want you to lay hands on yourself, okay? And I want you to lay your hands on yourself. Everyone lay your hands on yourself. And I'm going to pray for boldness for you. Now let me say what boldness means. Boldness doesn't mean like what Paul said, like we're dancing prophetically. Oh, you know what I mean? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that we'll have boldness to start that conversation. You guys ready?
Yes.
Hey, do people need Jesus?
Yes.
Do we know Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. Kimberly, this is Jesus. Jesus, this is Kimberly. That's your job. Father, we just thank you. I pray for boldness for every single one of these people that are here tonight. I thank you for the message that Pastor Paul preached, and I thank you that it was helpful that we heard it. I thank you that faith comes through hearing, and I pray for boldness for every single one of these people here. I thank you that the ministry that we have is to reconcile men to God, and I thank you that we will function in that ministry. I thank you that the ripple effect will be hundreds and thousands of people will come into the kingdom of God because of this night, because of this prayer. The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. We're not doing things just to do it. We're doing it because God is leading us, and he's leading me, and he's leading Pastor Paul, and he's leading the leadership, and people are responding. And I thank you that the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I pray for boldness for every single person here tonight, and I thank you that even this week, they will be led by the Spirit. They'll be provoked by the Spirit, and therefore they will respond just like the apostle who went out and he went and preached and preached and preached, and all kinds of people got saved. Father, I thank you. We will testify that Jesus is real. In his name we pray. Amen.